spent the weekend over in Orlando on behalf of our, thank you for that, for our district convention. And so that will be, there's a service that kicks off our district convention Friday night at 6 o'clock, and then a worship service Sunday. I'm sorry to say that despite my, I got down on my knees and begged their technology people, come on, setting up a live stream just isn't that hard, and we got a lot of people that would watch it. They said no. So our that service is not being live streamed. We'll try to get somebody that'll be working some controls so we can show you, because I know there's going to be highlights from the district convention, a video of some kind. So we'll see if we can get you some highlights from what Faith Factor is doing. In the meantime, pray for those folks. You know, that they are as much now of an outreach tool as any we've had in a long time here at the church. And so that's the best thing that we can do for them. I need to share now with you that it has pleased Almighty God to take from this world to himself the soul of Greg Musgrave. Those of you that get the emails know this by now, and I wanted to update some information for you now. The funeral is going to be here at Faith Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. The family will be present here for all the things that need to be done, just so that we can get all that taken care of, because the we're going to have a lunch at 11 o'clock. It's a little early for a lunch, but that's because we have to be ready to leave, because the interment is up at the National Cemetery, and we have to be ready to go for that by 12 noon, because the service is up in Bushnell at 1:30. And so it's going to be a little tight. Family will be here to greet people beginning at 9 a.m. There will be a brief private service just for family right at 9. But by about 9:15, we can be doing visitation. And then again, service at 10, lunch at 11. And then those that are going to be going up to the National Cemetery, we will be leaving at 12 noon. That is this coming Wednesday. I've also just been informed that one of our retired pastors, Pastor Arndt, who's with us tonight, he will be having surgery during that time, and we need to keep him in our prayers in the midst of all of that. That'll be Wednesday morning down at the Trinity Surgical Center. We have also just received information finally on the memorial service for Mary Olds, and that will be 2 weeks from today, Saturday, June the 30th. The visitation will begin at 10. The service at 11. There will be a lunch. We don't have details on the lunch yet. There's some things that are kind of hanging out there we got to wait for. But visitation 10, service 11, and then with the lunch to follow. The interment will be held at a separate time away from the festivities of this. But just so we don't get confused, Greg Musgrave's service is this coming Wednesday at 10. We'll have time to get back to announce and put something in for our emails about the Mary service, which is 2 weeks from today. So, but I've met with both families this afternoon, and we finally have got all of those arrangements shored up. We're also working on something for the 4th of July. I'll have some more details. I put a preliminary thing into the email, but I don't know how many of you are going to be around for the 4th of July, but if you're going to be around, we are working on something, and hopefully you'll be able to enjoy having fun along with us for that. So, and just remember that our Wednesday night worships, the crosswalks, those worships are going to continue throughout the summer. I mean, I'm going to be gone for a few days, but I make sure that I don't leave until after we're done with one, and I make sure I'm back in time for one of those. So even with different pastoral coverages for some of our weekend services, each and every Wednesday night, with the one exception, there will not be a crosswalk service on the 4th of July. And because that is a Wednesday night, we are planning a fellowship event. We're going to let everybody know about that fellowship event for that night and probably include a little something in that too. But otherwise, every Wednesday night we'll be enjoying that. So, okay, please fill out those faith fellowship cards that are in the racks in front of you. Let us know that you were here. It's important during the summer, as we just sometimes, between having guests And then having some of our people that are sometimes here and sometimes away at family reunions and stuff, we need to keep track of who actually is going to be here. So, well, let's begin our service then by standing and greeting one another in the peace of the Lord. As we make our beginning, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. Make your face shine on your servant. And now I ask you before God who searches the heart, do you sincerely confess that you have sinned against God by what you have done and by what you have left undone and deserve his wrath and punishment? If so, then declare by saying, I do confess. Indeed, we should confess, for Holy Scripture declares if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. You heartily repent of all your sins committed in thought, word, and deed. If so, declare by saying, I do repent. Indeed, we should repent, as did the penitent sinners, King David, who prayed for a contrite heart, Peter, who wept bitterly, the sinful woman at the feet of Jesus, the prodigal son, and others. Do you sincerely believe that God, by grace for Jesus' sake, will forgive you all your sins? If so, then declare by saying, I do believe. Indeed, we should believe, for Holy Scripture declares, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Do you promise that with the help of the Holy Spirit, you will, from this time forward, take up the battle against sin in your life and live that forgiven life in the light of Christ? If so, then declare by saying, I do promise. As you confess, repent, believe, and promise, so let it be unto you. It is my privilege and joy to announce to you that Jesus has taken away your burdens by his death and resurrection. According to his own command, I, as a servant of the word and called as pastor and servant of this word, declare that your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together. Almighty God, you have inaugurated your kingdom of forgiveness and spiritual power, making us a new creation in Jesus Christ. We pray that your kingdom will also come through to us, to others, through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Today's readings from Holy Scripture are for the fourth Sunday after Pentecost. The Old Testament lesson is found in Ezekiel chapter 17. The Lord promises a new planting amongst his people. Thus says the Lord God, I myself will take a sprig from the lofty top of the cedar and will set it out. I will break off from the topmost of its young twigs a tender one, and I myself will plant it on a high and lofty mountain. On the mountain height of Israel will I plant it, that it may bear branches and produce fruit and become a noble cedar. And under it will dwell every kind of bird. In the shade of its branches, birds of every sort will nest. And all the trees of the field shall know that I am the Lord. I bring low the high tree and make high the low tree, dry up the green tree and make the dry tree flourish. I am the Lord, I have spoken, and I will do it. This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle lesson is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. God promises a house eternal in the heavens. St. Paul writes, For we know that if the tent, which is our earthly home, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling, if indeed by putting it on we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. For we must all prepare before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Long ago, at many times and in various ways, God spoke to the forefathers by the prophets.
Please stand as a sign of resurrection hope. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 4th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows, he knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain, in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." And he said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when sown on the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants, and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples. He explained everything. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Friends, indeed, we have coming up tomorrow, Father's Day. We want to congratulate and welcome all of our fathers and grandfathers, anyone with the title of dad. In his small catechism, Dr. Martin Luther included the table of duties, which has Bible verses that relate to specific vocations. Using scripture, he wrote concerning duties of parents and children. To parents, Luther quoted, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the nurture and discipline and instruction of the Lord." To children, Luther quoted, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land." You may be seated. God's grace, mercy, and peace be unto you through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. My text is the words we just heard from our gospel lesson. Friends, there are certain people in life that any of us, if we ever got the opportunity, would love to have the chance to meet. You know, the various leaders of our country, the type of people that, for whatever reason, you know, maybe the person that is at the absolute top of his sport, baseball, whatever your favorite sport is, perhaps somebody that you idolized as a child. But then there are also certain people that, well, maybe you would have some interest in something like that, but other people, who knows? Like, for example, even though it has been now coming up on 50 years since man landed on the moon, I've always had interest in the space program. Not to the point where I ever wanted to become an astronaut, but to the point where even today, I'm reading articles and books about the things that they went through years and years and years ago. And then I come to find out that in the midst of all of the other things I'm going to be doing, and I'm going to be quite busy while I'm gone next weekend, but I'm going to have the chance to actually see the capsule that returned the astronauts of Apollo 11, the one that there were the first ones that walked on the moon. The capsule, for the first time, has been allowed to leave the Smithsonian Institution in Washington, D.C., and is on display for a month at the St. Louis Science Center. And they have said that while there's no schedule, you really don't know who's going to be there, but that various astronauts from Apollo 11, from some of the other Apollos, are going to be at the St. Louis Science Center at random times. I hope to meet one of them. It doesn't even make any difference to me who it would be, but just for the opportunity to talk to somebody who has been to a place that I promise you none of us have ever been is fascinating to me. Then there's another person that I want to meet. I honestly don't know which was first, but I want to meet the guy or one of the people that invented the stuff that we are putting on our hot dogs and things like that. Whether it's ketchup, mustard, or what? Who thought of this? Who thought that this would be a great thing to do? How'd they come up with something like this? I don't know if you heard. The sermon today is about mustard, but I was preparing my message, and right in the middle of it, I was being shown where now all of a sudden they have these things that they're adding to school lunches that are called ketchup slices. You heard of them? Years and years ago, they used to make fun that ketchup would somehow be considered one of the staples. Now they are making these slices that are actual ketchup. And obviously, it's a little thicker than what you would see in a bottle. But the very idea that we can use these things, you know, if you're making a really serious sandwich, and I don't often do it, but boy, I have my times when I'm at home and I have just got to make me a serious sandwich. No matter what else I put in that sandwich, and boy, it's never going to be just the type of sandwich you used to have when we were kids. Piece of white bread, one piece of something that's about yay thin, and then another piece of bread, and that was your sandwich. I don't do sandwiches like that anymore. And I mean, who knows all the things that are put on it, but the one thing that has to be on that sandwich is mustard. And when I was a child, I enjoyed the yellow mustard as well as anybody, but no, now there must be 15 different mustards out there, and for all I know, there's far more than that. Each of them with their own unique taste. There's almost a single mustard out there that I don't like. Each one of them does something to a sandwich that just nothing else can do. And what is it about those things that made them so popular? You know, for decades, the most popular condiment that was used for just about anything was ketchup. It has now been overtaken. Anybody know what the most popular condiment is now? Pardon? Not mayonnaise, believe it or not. Ranch dressing. Ranch dressing. And I am told that at the current rate it's going, in 5 years, that is going to be replaced by salsa. Which, I don't even know if salsa qualifies as condiment, but that's what's happening today for the types of things that people are putting on sandwiches and so forth. But obviously I'm not here to talk about a sandwich, but our Lord was talking about how a simple mustard seed, the smallest of all seeds, can become something absolutely amazing. You know, the goal of me trying to make a sandwich is to make something that is going to be truly amazing. And I say you can't do it without the right kinds of mustard on it. Well, friends, we are in the midst of seeing some really, really special things happen amongst, and we're dealing with people. You know, when we're dealing with people, we start out not much bigger than a mustard seed. In some ways, even smaller than that. You know, as life has begun with our parents, with our mom, with our dad, and that is where life begins then. And from something that small comes out an absolute miracle that is going to be able to do so many things at one time. The first astronauts that walked on the moon were that small. At one time, the people that have invented some of the most amazing things that have helped us in life started from something that small. And each and every one of you as children of God have started as something where you were very small. But you didn't stay that way. And it isn't even just what we have become, but what we have been able to add into this life, what the Lord has given us. Indeed, the Lord sometimes called us the salt of the earth, the light of the world. I would claim that we are also the mustard of the world sandwiches. We are the people that are going to give it something very unique. We are the people that are going to be able to show the world that, no, we don't have to be. Whatever it is that's out there, whatever it is that holds us back, we have a world that is so filled with confusion, with sadness, with seeing goodness in all of the wrong things, and even the things in life that give us genuine joy. People are picking on those things. People are saying there is something wrong with it. I'm actually giving a preview for my Wednesday worship this week. But I read an article early this week, and the title of it was, Gossip is Good. And this person was serious. They're convinced that absolutely nothing but good things can come out of going behind a person's back and saying things you would never say to them face to face. I don't know what you call that, but it is not good. Friends, if the people of this life don't really understand what makes the world good and what makes the world bad, well, maybe that's not so hard to understand. Because one thing I know, when I was, my taste buds through the years, I know, have gone through some changes. There were some things when I was young that I looked at it, you couldn't get me within 100 miles of it. And one of the things that I just wanted nothing to do with was brown mustard. It's like, what's the point of that stuff? It was hot, it burned your tongue, I didn't see any point to it, and now I couldn't make a sandwich without it if I tried. I mean, that's one of those things where I'm going to make sure that I have about 3 or 4 kinds of different brown mustard in my refrigerator so that even if one bottle happens to be empty, I've always got something I can put in my sandwich. But when I was young, I wanted nothing to do with that. Friends, spiritually, we have gone through times in life where things that really are, that give the world, that make the difference in the world of life that we live in, are not well seen, are not well understood. And look, as Christians, I understand. We have from time to time been our own worst enemy. We have gone through times when they could accuse us of being, we'll use the word, cold. Now, a nice cold sandwich is good, but having a reputation of being cold inside these walls, inside the sanctuary, that's not a good thing. But it was true, and we deserved it. We could have been accused of being timid at the times when we needed to be bold. We could be accused of not being able to well explain to people that don't have the hope that is in our hearts what that hope really is. We can be accused of not allowing the Holy Spirit to do what he does best, to try to take to ourselves those things that belong to God. We can be accused of living lives outside these walls that bear no resemblance to what we are trying to learn and trying to be a part of inside these walls, even understanding that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But it has to begin someplace. And as we are now approaching, it's a little clumsy when it's the night before Father's Day, but I'm going to have to preach for a few minutes here like it really is Father's Day. And on this Father's Day, which might be a few hours away yet, whether we have any actual responsibilities right now as being fathers over children, you know, the day-to-day thing that, it took up all your life. It took up your attention. It took up all of your resources that you needed so that you could work to support your family, so that you could spend the proper hour still being an actual dad as you were watching your children grow up. even if you're not doing that anymore, this would be a good time to remind ourselves that we dads out there, we are still very much in a position to be the world's mustard. To go back and once again, to rise from that which we have always been. I know that growing up, I saw a lot of women in church engaged, interested in the Lord's work. And sometimes it seemed almost hinging on every word that the minister, when he was doing his sermon, was going to give. The men, is it kind of okay? As a child, sometimes I could pay attention, sometimes I didn't. But as my eyes began to wander, I always noticed that it just seemed like the men were just far less engaged. Not all of them, to be sure, but more than one would want to be comfortable with. And I just shrugged my shoulders and said, well, I guess that's the way life is. And as I've grown, I've realized, no, that's not the way it should be. If we, as men, cannot begin by taking the spiritual responsibility first in our own lives that we need to, by making sure we are the ones that are spiritually engaged, by making sure we are the ones that are praying for our children, grandchildren, whatever the case might be, for our community's children, our neighborhood's children, whoever the case might be, if we can't be the ones starting to do that, well, who's going to do the job? When the Lord gave to us and set up in such a way where it would be the father and the mother, they were each given a different role of nurturing. And the mom's role of nurturing, I think we well understand. And through the centuries, moms have had to probably do almost double duty. But they were never intended to take the place of the father. And when you see so many families today where there is no father, or they have no idea who it is, and fathers that just have no idea, and could care less, if they have children out there in the world that they are responsible for. This is not the way it is to be. If we are ever going to be able to adequately become the world's mustard, then somebody has to be in a position to say, it's going to start with me, and it's going to start today. Adding mustard, it is something in which we heard how the Lord described it, that from just a tiny small seed, it becomes the greatest of all trees. The birds can nest in its shade. So many good things that were never intended happen when those kinds of things take place. I noticed that when I was a teenager and we moved much closer to the city, my parents had a lot more yard to do with whatever it is that they wanted to do. And whether they planted a tree, whether they planted flowers, whether they added yet another vegetable garden. At one point, there were five I had to weed. And that's all it was to me, by the way, growing up was, oh boy, another garden I get to weed. Terrific. But they understood what was going to take place, that they literally, with each thing that they added, were adding mustard. We're adding mustard to a world, not only for beautification purposes, but everything that they planted always ended up with something unintended, something we had never really planned on, something that when we moved there, it's like, well, we didn't know that all of this was going to happen. There was a time, for example, that since sweet corn was grown much later than it is now up in the Midwest, that come Labor Day, just about everybody in the county knew that if no one else had any sweet corn left, we're talking Labor Day. I mean, the season, for the most part, is long over. But you could still come to our house to get the things that you needed, and we would willingly and gladly supply it to you. Well, maybe we could do that with fruits and vegetables, but how about doing that with the message of the kingdom of God? You see, we're God's children. And we are the ones that are to be the parents also of God's children. There is nothing that we can do that would remove us as children of God. So when we understand that, And we have the chance to be the ones to add mustard to the children of God, the mustard of God's word, the mustard of learning what the life is that he has asked us to lead, the mustard of knowing that our entire life is about the forgiveness of sins offered through Jesus Christ on the cross. And we just need to be there. It starts by being there. And because we're not going to be there very long. The first words in today's epistle lesson, we know that when our earthly tent is destroyed, it's going to happen. I have been, in the last week, in two or three situations that I'm not going to be involved in as a pastor. One was as a neighbor. Another, apparently, is going to be now very soon as a family member, where we're going to be confronted with the power and the darkness of death. But that's why Jesus is preparing us that we have a home eternal in the heavens, not made by human hands, not formed. Everything that it needs is already in there. That time is coming quickly. But until it comes, here's our opportunity. From this tiny seed that by which life began for each of us, we can now be the world's mustard. And regardless of what you think of mustard, it adds a certain spice that nothing else can match. It adds something that is so totally unique, there's nothing to compare it to. And that's life in Christ. That's life lived in him. That is life by which we are a part of the kingdom of God. And friends, for all of our dads out there, where just as the role of mom in some ways never stops, so also as it is with the role of dad, we are the ones that must be there. If the world still needs mustard, it must come from us. Well, whether you like mustard or not, there it is. We are the world's mustard. We are there to add to the world's mustard. We are there to make sure that whatever it is that's going to come forth, even in the midst of the sins that drag us down, we are going to be like that sandwich, an absolute masterpiece built in the kingdom of God. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds forever through faith in Jesus Christ. Let's confess our faith through the words of the Apostles' Creed. Please stand. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We receive our offerings. You may be seated. Lord our God, you are our strength and joy. For everything you do is marked by kindness and love. And because you are gracious, we trust in you as we offer you our prayers. We thank and praise you for blessing us with life. It begins with just a tiny seed, but it equips us then with all of our powers of body and soul. As you give us the ability to be useful, bringing us to enjoy your creation, for surrounding us with the warmth of human relationships in every facet of life. But, Heavenly Father, we praise you above all else for your grace in sending your Son to die on the cross, raising him in power and glory to provide all the riches of our salvation. In him you have given us free pardon for our sins, the strength to overcome evil, and a sure hope that when this earthly tent of ours is destroyed, we have a building in the heavens, eternal, not made with hands. Dear Father, in your mercy,
hear your children's prayer.
On this weekend, we ask that you bless all fathers, grandfathers, and all that share in the joy of being a dad. It is indeed a most special privilege, but it is a great responsibility as you ask us to be those people that are the first to dispense of the gifts and the grace that you give us in this life. So enable all of them to be able, with conviction, with dedication, and with the gifts that you have given them, to share with their families what you have first shared with them, to be able to be people who are going to be examples in righteousness, in their spiritual lives, and in lives that they share with others. Dear Father, in your mercy,
hear your children's prayer.
Reveal your power to all lands and nations, reminding people everywhere that you are the Lord of all history. You judge the leaders of the nations. You have the power to break bows, shatter spears, destroy all human might. So grant that all people everywhere may turn to you and follow your truth. Be also the heavenly guest in all our homes. Move all families to trust you in everything, to love and to serve each other until that day comes when you will call us from our homes on earth to live with you in our heavenly home forever. Dear Father, in your mercy,
hear your children's prayer.
Bless all who are in any need of body or soul, in the midst of times of sorrow, sadness, pain, sickness, grief, bereavement, loneliness, mental illness, or anything else, dear Lord, we look to you. We ask a special blessing on the family of Greg Musgrave, on the family of Mary Oles, on Pastor Dick Arndt, who's going in for surgery this week, and on behalf of those of us who have people in our lives that are in need of the special help that you give to them, that we now name before you in a moment of silence. Assure them of your infinite understanding and loving care. For God of all grace, you have united us to share eternal glory in union with Christ. Perfect us, give us firmness, strength, and a sure foundation in life. And hear our prayers for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We now sing the words of the Lord's Prayer. We pray together Luther's evening prayer. I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have graciously kept me this day, and I pray that you would forgive me all my sins where I have done wrong, and graciously keep me this night. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Go out into the world in peace, have courage, hold to what is good. Return no one evil for evil, strengthen the faint-hearted, support the weak. Help the suffering, honor all people, love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. And may the Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit bless you. Amen.